There's a great responsibility. Never been a husband that's always corrected his children exactly the way they need to be corrected, a father. Never been a husband that's always done just like needs to be done to the wife, wife to the husband, mother to the children. I mean, sometimes we have a flesh nature that'll get in our way and hinder. And I won't tell you, as some of you could tell, folks, I was just about to a point of giving in. I'm not going to tell you that I'm not going to get down again, because I'd probably be a liar if I told you that. But as God spoke to Elijah, he's laying under a juniper tree. He's done the will of God. But he got in a place, he saw everything but what he needed to see. And I've been seeing more bad than I've been seeing good. And it's... we're being affected here, possibly some of the area of, I've preached this, and you know, if we're not careful, Apostle Paul said in the Acts chapter 9, verse 27, I believe it is, or 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, he said there's something that he feared. He talked about fighting. He talked about running. He didn't fight his beating the air. He said, but I bring under my body, keep it in the subjection, least while I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. What are you saying? I'm telling you, folks, we can preach all the right things. We can teach all the right things. We can testify all the right things and still be a castaway if we're not careful. I have more thoughts in the last month or two of just crawling off. I done told you here that David thought about it. Oh, that I had wings as a dove, I'd fly into the wilderness and be at rest. If I had a lodging place, I'd go there. I'm wanting to get away. But I can tell you, folks, anywhere we go, we'll never get away from problems or responsibility. I'm not having right now. I think the prayer this morning, the yoke's been broken and destroyed. Now, I'm going to have to fight, folks. Brother Smith, we're going to have to fight, because the devil will be right back to yoke you up. Now, I preached just recently and I talked about the yoke. And the yoke, when we take the Lord's yoke, we go in the direction. We can't help but learn of him. That's what he said. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. But when we're yoked in the wrong things, folks, we're learning everything else. I'm tired of the weary mind. You can go ahead and sit and look like you've been weaned on a dill pickle if you want to. I'm tired of worrying about what folks look like and act like and think like. I'm just, God didn't call me to do a facelift on you. And God didn't call me to bear your burdens alone. The Bible says, bear you one another's burden and so fulfill the law. We are to bear one another's burden. But I won't tell you, when we get to going down in those burdens, that means we're bearing them alone. The Lord's never went down, Brother Nathan, in carrying a load. He's never been overweighted in carrying a load. He's never been overburdened. He's never been overwhelmed. But David stated, there's times he's been overwhelmed. How do you know that, preacher? Because he stated in the book of Psalms, when my heart's overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock which is higher than I. That's telling me there's times he'd been overwhelmed. I've been overwhelmed more this year than I've been overwhelmed in years. Now, I'm not the only preacher that's that way. Now, I'll tell you, most of the times, even when I'm a little discouraged, I do a lot of talking out of both sides of my mouth, I guess, when I shouldn't. I'll preach to you one thing and then I'll say to you something else. Oh, yeah, you're not going to hear this just everywhere. But I'll tell you that you got to fight whether you feel like it or not. And then I want to just give up in the fight if I'm not careful. But the difference between me and a lot of other preachers, most of the preachers, now you, and I believe we need to observe preachers, Christians, not in the physical altogether, but in the spiritual. The Bible says, try the spirits, whether they be of God. I don't always know what another individual is going through. We were at Pierstown Holiness Church, I don't know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks ago, and the last service that we were there. No, sis preached there since then. But we were there, and that night, Brother Bob Harmon made no accusations of resigning. He said nothing about resigning the church. And we left that service that night. I looked over at my wife, and I said, Brother Bob will be leaving. Why? Be leaving Pierstown Holiness in just a few days. I said, I'll say no more than 2 weeks. He'll be gone. That was on a Friday. He resigned Sunday. Never said a word to me about it. Last time I talked to him, he's upbeat. He's encouraged. But somebody said, how did you know that? Sometimes God allows you to, not with the physical. I saw nothing no different than anybody else saw. But in the spirit, Sister Helen, I could see. Here's what Brother Bob told me. I talked to him later. I told him about what God showed me. It was when I walked in, God showed me. Bob, Brother Bob is fixing to leave this church. Here's what Brother Bob told me. He said, I had no intentions of leaving. Hadn't thought about resigning. He said, I haven't slept a night's sleep in several weeks. 2-3 hours here and there. And my mind is so overwhelmed that I thought I was at the point of breaking. And he said, God, release me from obligation. I don't know that altogether. Sometimes God will allow things. It may not be the perfect will, but it's the permissive will. I believe Brother Bob left, and it was the will of God. But was it the perfect will? He probably couldn't tell you that he knows it was. I couldn't tell you that I knew it was. And I tell you, folks, when it comes time for me to do something different, I don't want to miss God. I don't want to miss God. But I can tell you this. You better be the same. Just because I'm a preacher, I have no more responsibility but just in a different area than you have. Whatever God's placed you over, whether it be the doorkeeper, whatever it may be, Brother Fred, we've got that responsibility. It will not go away regardless of where we're at or what we're doing. It will not go away. And we better know. I believe that sometimes I see pastors different places that are so beat down. I'm not beat down too much when I stay at home. I go other places, I get beat down. Somebody says, why do you go? God opens doors. I don't understand it. I've never told it. I'm not asking for a place to preach. I'm not asking for a door to be open. But if God opens the door, I believe, Brother Smith, somebody's soul could be at jeopardy. Somebody could be standing in the valley of decision. That religious group may not hear, probably won't hear what this preacher has to say. But Sister Helen Burks, there could possibly be somebody there. You can count on this. This old book that's being preached, this uncompromised word of God, it'll either go for them on the day of judgment or it'll go against them. The day we stand before God Almighty, he'll say, it, when those books are open, you remember that day that word was preached. Now, I touched your heart to move, and you didn't move. I stretched out my hands. He stated it as he spoke to us from heaven today. I stretched out my hands, but you didn't regard it. We disregard many times the things God knows is what we need. The old devil will paint a picture. Brother Smith, he'll tell us, well, if you do this, you got to do that. Something will always follow up in that. He's good at doing that to try to prevent us from taking the first step. I'm here to tell you, you take the first step, everything else will come easier. You got to make the first move, and then God will go before you. He said, I'll make all those crooked places straight. I'll make those high places low. I'll break down all the barriers that'll be before you. The things we can do, we must. But the things we cannot do, God will do it, Brother Fred. And that's the way we got to look at it. I'm telling you, I don't deal in myself with great responsibilities real good. Great loads. I panic a lot of times. I get in storms, I panic. Sometimes I don't know how to handle situations. And in this, in the last few weeks, I can tell you, we're dealing with something preachers have never dealt with. We're dealing with, in an area we've never dealt with. And I don't deal with rejection real good. And that's why sometimes, you know what happens when we don't know what to do? We try to do it ourselves. You're no different than I am. And I'm no different than you are. And sometimes when I cannot find the will of God, and I cannot find the real mind of God. Now there's times I know what God speaks. I know. And I can stand upon that. But there's times that I'm like Job was. Behold, I go to the right and you're not there. I go to the left and you're not there. I'll even go backwards and can't find him. Forward and he hides himself. But I say this. Job said, behold, the Lord knows the steps that I take. Didn't say that every step he took was the step that was in the perfect will. I'm saying there is a perfect and there's a permissive will. Job said, he knows the steps that I've taken. When I'm tried, they'll come forth. Read your book of Job and you'll find everything Job said, God wasn't pleased with. He cursed the mother that gave him milk. The womb that bore him. The days born. You think God's pleased with that murmur? If this old preacher got up in front of this congregation and said, I curse the day my mother bore me. I was before man some time ago. He's saying basically, I've been cursed ever since I've been born. And you know what it done? It about made me sick to hear it. Putting all this responsibility on everybody else. It ain't nobody else's fault but ours. And I believe that's basically what God's saying to Job. But Job knew enough about God and God's will, had enough integrity, Sister Helen Birch, that he said, when I'm tried, I'll come forth as gold. Why? Because, folks, when you've done everything else, Paul said, stand. It ain't easy, but you've got to stand on the things of God. You've got to stand. When you've done everything else, just stand. The greatest battle you'll have from here on out is the battle in the mind. We try to figure everything out ourselves. I want to tell you, I am torn right now between several different messages. I don't like that. I believe between now, I'm not talking about today. I'm preaching on a series. This goes along. Now, folks, we've been preaching on victory over. And I've got up to victory over the spoil. Now I'm going to preach victory over the spoiler. Victory over the spoiler. That's what I'm preaching to you right now. I'm going to read a text here in a little bit, but I want to set the foundation for this. Listen, I don't always keep the victory as I should. Oh no, somebody said. You don't always keep the victory. I've stated all the way through this message. It's easier to give the victory than it is to keep that victory. It'll cost you much less to get it than to keep it. Because when you get it, here's what the devil's saying. All the little imps from hell, the moment you get the victory, they won't fight you near as hard to keep you from getting it as they will to keep you from keeping it. How many knows that? You pray and you get the victory a lot quicker, and a lot of times some folks lose the victory before they ever leave the building. They get on their seat. The old imps, the little imps from hell jump up on their shoulder, begin to whisper in their ear, and begin to tell them you didn't really get anything. And if you do this, as I stated a while ago, it'll have to be followed up. You'll have to give up something else, and something else you really don't want to. It'll happen, and the first thing you know, the victory begins to leave. The victory begins to leave. Listen, folks, there is a spoiler out there. The Webster Dictionary defines spoil as to receive or to take goods from someone in a battle. In a battle. Victory is to the defeat, the total defeat in a conflict or battle. We stated that all the way through this message. And the sad thing is, if you look at this, the total defeat, I've a lot of times defeated the enemy, but not totally. A lot of times we defeat the enemy, but not totally. Here's what the enemy's doing. He's bringing in something that will appease us, make us feel good, make us think we're all right, when really deep down If you know how we know when we're all right and we're not, it's when we really get in the Spirit and pray. There's the mirror. Right here is how we know. We look in the mirror and we see the reflection. And if we're not seeing the right reflection, we know things ain't all right. It doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter what the first church of the deadhead says. If we look in the mirror and things aren't right, I can tell you, folks, I've been a little bit like Elijah was. Been a little bit like Job was. I've stated a fear in Paul's life, a fear in Leodi's life. At least while I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. These last few weeks, it wasn't anything hid. Now, I probably hid this better than most folks could. I believe in backing preachers. I believe in backing singers. I sing with singers if they're singing something worthy to sing. I believe when folks testify with them, back them, encourage them. Don't set on them. Don't make it a pull. When you see somebody struggling, I can assure you if you'll help them in that load of struggle, it'll get easier for them. They'll get the victory much quicker and much easier if you'll help them. But we've got a lot of preachers that won't encourage others. And we got a lot of singers won't encourage others. We got a lot of Christians won't encourage others. Here's what they'll say when they're having problems. Well, boy, they just didn't pay the price, did they? A lot of times we can pay that price, but if we're not careful, we'll allow things that are about us. Peter stepped out. I can tell you, folks, he done much more than all the others. No one else stepped out of that ship. Somebody, all we hear preached about is how Peter's unbelief got him down. What about the rest of the ones that's in that boat? They didn't even have enough faith to step out. Peter said, Lord, if it be thou bid me to come. He just said, come. Peter stepped out. Listen, folks, every one of us will reach out from time to time in a place we've never been. And if we're not careful, we fight devils we've never fought before. And that devil will cause defeat in our life. And every one of us would sink had not it been for Jesus reaching faster than we could fall. Every one of us would be defeated today. Every one of us. There's a lot of preachers that's been dead, twice dead, plucked up by the roots for a while. But I made a confession today. We got this on tape, don't we, Brother Wade? I want this to be on tape. I'm making this confession. I'm down on preachers. You better believe it, I was probably way more down on them than the Lord was. And you know what I was wanting to do to some of them? Wring their jaws. Wake up, you sorry excuse for a Pentecostal. You wouldn't even make a good Catholic. You wouldn't even make a good dead preacher, whoever it might be. And I'm telling you the truth. You preach your heart out, but now if you'll preach the blessings, come on, preacher, woo, you're preaching good now. That's just it. I can tell you what, I won't get with the preacher near as quick preaching prosperity as I will sin. I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I realize if I don't keep the grace of God active in my life, folks, I'll turn back to that sinful nature every time. I'm no different than you are, and you're no different than I am. We have something in common, and there's a flesh, and every one of us we have to deal with, and we've got to have this word preached straight. Now, I'm not talking about mean and ugly. Now, here in the last few weeks, I've been downright mean. I'm just preaching you the truth, preaching you my heart. And I'm doing my best to come out of some of this. It's hard sometimes. And I'm not telling you. Now this morning I'm preaching you my heart. I'm not telling you that sometimes when we're preaching, everything we say is given of God. Boy, is that a shock to you? I'm not telling you that every time the way we do it is the way God said present it. If you had to look at what we had to look at, you'd know too. You'd know exactly what I'm saying. I'll not feed the dog very long that tries to bite my fingers every time I put it out with a handful of food. In a few days, I might pet him and say, come on, pooch. Come on, Fido. Now, be good, boy. I might do it a few days, but 3 or 4 days I may kick him right in the teeth when he snarls his nose and tries to growl. That's the human nature. And if we're not careful, what's happened? Now listen, folks. We can make it easier on the preacher, or we can kill the preacher. Now here, Wido is almost like a little portion of heaven compared to most of the churches. Even though it's been more of a struggle this year here than it's ever been in the years I've been here. But it's like a little piece of heaven compared to most places. Why is it? Most folks does not want to hear anything mentioned about sin. You preach all the prosperity you will, and they'll get with you. You preach anything about sin, you've done struck a note. You got the food out, but they're curling their nose up and saying, "Preacher, you walk by me, I'll snap every finger to the stub. You won't have enough left to open that book up by the time I get through." Maybe you don't understand what I'm saying, but I know what I'm saying to be a fact today. Most folks that call themselves Christian does not want to hear where they are. They don't want to hear where they are. And in that, Brother Smith, it takes us to a place if we're not careful. I just tell you, folks of God, I feel like the yoke's been broke today. You help me pray for the victory to stay broke. Had it not, I couldn't survive much longer. I was headed a direction. I couldn't survive, Brother Smith. God said, as Brother Scott gave the message, too much for the physical, it's too much for the spiritual without God. Listen, folks, I've been at a point lately that I just sometimes had rather die and go on. And I got every reason in the world to live. Every reason in the world to live. What is it, preacher? We get overwhelmed, Sister Helen. We get overwhelmed. We get overloaded sometimes because we don't let the Lord carry the load. He'll carry us and the load when we get to those spots. You believe that? But we got to let Him. When He said, cast all your cares, you got to cast them. He's not going to take them. He's not an intruder. He'll not push His way in. We'll have to cast. Put that load where it needs to be. And I tell you, folks, fallen water, I've been going from the New Testament to the Old Testament and at least two messages, about four, but two that I don't know where to go. I don't know the direction. I believe God will give me the direction before I get there. But I don't want to preach self. I don't want self in the way at all. I want you to help me pray at this particular moment. I believe God's given me a deliverance that I'll get self. I can tell you, I'm gonna see some devils while I'm there. I'm going to pray God to help me to not see those devils. Help me to have power to overcome those devils. Not everybody that comes to church comes to back the preacher. How do you know that? Well, it's Bible one thing, and I've experienced it another thing. There come a time that the sons of God presented themselves together in the book of Job. What does the Bible say? Who was it come? Satan come also. And he didn't come to worship God, I can tell you that. You know what he come for? To accuse the preacher. Well, God, you know he just serves you because you just bless him all the time. He just serves you because you got a hedge about him. How many likes them hedges? I like them hedges. I'm going to preach to you a little while in the book of Jeremiah this morning. Oh, don't you like it when the Lord takes over and gets all the routine out of the way? Don't worry about an offering. Don't worry about a birthday. If the Lord tarries, you'll get older. If He don't, you'll die. Time will be no more. And when the Lord comes, offering ain't going to matter. The tithe ain't going to matter. But I can tell you this. His word's going to be through the endless ages. How you know that? Because He is the Word. He is the Word. And He'll be there. He'll be there. Stand with us for a moment. I'm not going to preach but a few minutes because I've done give you more than probably I should have this morning. Lord, I've got the wrong glasses. Can't see what I'm doing. In the book of Jeremiah, for just a little while this morning, I want to read in chapter 4. And we're going to hinge this off of the book of Joshua, chapter 8. The first two verses, God said, I'm not going to read them, just going to paraphrase them a little bit. God spoke to, let me read these, then I'll give you that. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 4, and you can be seated here in just a moment. Let me just read, let me read verse 13, 14, and then I want to read verse number 30. Behold, he shall come as up as a cloud, as clouds. His chariot shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. That doesn't mean spoiled as pampered to a place of being no benefit. That means overtaken in a battle and our goods have been robbed. Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? Go with me to verse number 30. And when thou art spoiled, listen what he said, what wilt thou do? Though thou clothest thyself with crimson, though thou deckest thee with ointments of gold, though thou rentest thy face with paintings, in vain shall thou make thyself fair. Listen what he said. Thy lovers will despise thee. They will seek thy life. I'm going to stop right there. You can be seated. I want to continue and preach a little while. If the Lord be our helper this morning. Listen, folks. This is a serious issue that we're dealing with this morning. Now, as I begin, I couldn't see hardly a while ago to even read for tears. But I ain't complaining. I thank God for the tears. Amen. Now, I want you to notice here with me. In verse number 13, Jeremiah. And through the book of Jeremiah, if you begin to look at it, Jeremiah being called the weeping prophet, as he begins to see the destruction of Jerusalem, as the Lord began to place and implant. And listen, folks, there wasn't a lot of help in Jeremiah's time. He had not a lot. There's a whole lot more prophets saying peace than there was. Now, there was a few of the other minor prophets that were in Jeremiah's time, but he didn't have near as much crying out with him as he did crying against him. And I thought how he'd cry out the words of the Lord, and here'd come that false prophet. Here'd come that religious spirit. And they'd begin to say, peace and safety, everything's all right. You need to live as you are, and you need to enjoy life to the fullness, and you need to be decked out with everything. You need to have all the things the world has to offer, and enjoy life, eat, drink, and be merry. Everything's going to be our destruction is not coming. And Jeremiah paint this picture in their heart. And as he'd do that, he began to say in the book of Jeremiah chapter 2 that he said, my people, God spoke it, sir. My people committed two evils. Number one, they forsaken me, the fountain of living water. Who in the world in a right mind would trade a fountain for a reservoir? Nobody would. If you've got something flowing rich and real in your life, why in the world would you want to trade it for something stagnant? And they've hewn out cisterns. Number one, they forsake the fountain of living water. And they've hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And they get to a place, Jeremiah began to pronounce to him here. Listen what he said in Jeremiah 4 and 13, 14. He began to say to him, the trouble's coming, he said, the enemy's going to come. And he said, they're going to come as a cloud, as a chariot of whirlwinds, and horses swifter than eagles. And he said, woe unto us, for we are spoiled. Jeremiah saw the Lord had already showed him the destruction. We've come to a place. And now Jeremiah said in verse 14, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness. How long? How? Jeremiah began to say here, wash your heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? Listen, you know what spoils an individual? I can tell you what spoils an individual. That means bring the victory out. The enemy, in John chapter 10, verse number 10, Jesus said, in verse number 9, he said, I am the good shepherd. In verse number 10, he said, but the thief cometh but to kill and to steal and to kill and to destroy. Oh, but I'm come that you may have life and end it more abundantly. Listen, folks, that's what the enemy's doing. He's bringing thoughts in. And Jeremiah began to say here, he said, you can be saved if you'll turn from your wickedness. You're not going to be saved in that wickedness, but you'll be saved if you'll turn from it. How long will you keep those vain thoughts within you? What spoils an individual is when we allow the wrong kind of stinking thinking, the things that's not of God, the things that's not of edification to the body. Do you have it, preacher? Every one of us has somewhat, some stinking thinking. If it's things, I don't believe we ought to even think on things that are of no benefit. And sometimes we do that. If we're not careful, we get idle in things of God. But as I begin to look at this, listen, Jeremiah said it's coming. And it's coming swifter than an eagle or whirlwind. It's coming, the clouds are here, and it's coming. And when it comes, there's going to be total destruction up for the children of Israel. Listen, I'm here to tell you this morning, it's coming, and it's coming swifter than eagles. It's coming faster than you could imagine, and it's going to be destruction for those that aren't ready. I've got to have the victory over the spoiler. Jeremiah suffered in that same captivity, but he didn't suffer the loss of victory. He had the victory. He had the victory. All the way through Jeremiah's time of prophesying, of ministry, to try to call the people. Sometimes you get to a place that it's too late for the trouble to not come, but it's not too late to have help in the trouble. All the way through, Jeremiah is trying to convince the people that the trouble is coming, and he even got to a place. Listen, that's where Leodi's been for the last few months. I preach, and it seems like nobody regards. I preach, and I know a lot of it is the devil working in my mind. You don't see results. Folks just keep getting worse instead of better. Situations getting harder rather than better. And if after a while you get to a place, you say, God, Jeremiah is no different than you and I are. And he said, God, I ain't going to say it no more. I'm through preaching them old hard messages. And I can tell you this, the day that you hear this old boy preach a bless me prosperity, name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it, you better check my pulse, because I done died. I stinketh by now. I can tell you, I'll not be guilty of preaching that garbage. We're more blessed than we ever thought about blessing God. It doesn't matter the worst person, the lowest individual you could see that's living on welfare is more blessed than we're blessing God in America. And I'm here to tell somebody, if God will give me strength and help me, folks, I'll keep preaching it. I'm praying, God, help me to be sweet, not bitter. I don't want to be bitter in the things of God. I don't want to be harsh. I don't want to be in a place that folks have cut me off. But God, give me a heart that I can preach it in love. And when the opportunity comes, Lord, let me enjoy preaching your word, because I know I please God. I've got the victory over the spoiler. No wonder we had an altar service before I preached. I need the victory over the spoiler. Who's the spoiler? Well, I'm glad you asked. It could be yourself in a religious spirit. But the number one spoiler is the devil, the deceiver, old Lucifer, the old dragon. He's the spoiler. And he's, when you spoil something, that means you come in, you take everything good. The Lord spoke through Brother Scott and said to me that the enemy's come to try to sift. I can tell you the enemy ain't wanting to sift the bad out of me. Now the Lord has a sifter too, and he wants to sift everything that's bad in you out and keep the good. But the devil come to sift everything good and leave all the garbage. Leave the religious things there. Leave the things that'll make you feel good. I'm here to tell you folks that the Lord spoke through Ananias concerning Paul the Apostle when his name was Saul of Tarsus, and he said, I'm going to show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He didn't say, I'm going to show him how good he can feel, how high he can jump, and how blessed he is, and how folks will be honored when he comes into town. He said, I'll show him how much he must suffer, what great things he'll suffer for my name's sake. And Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Listen, folks, we're going to suffer if we're living where God wants us to live. It ain't all about prosperity. We are in trouble. We are in trouble. Until we acknowledge that, we'll never find help. A story was told me one time years ago. True story. A young lady. She had something wrong mentally. And she always thought she was fat. I'm fat and I know it. I don't just think, I know. How do you know it? When you try to put your shoes on, you have to do it three times to catch your breath. You're fat. I don't have to look in the mirror. I can feel it. I know the effects of what fat does to you. And I can tell you this. I pray God don't ever let me lose my mind enough that I'll starve myself to death over it. I'd rather die fat and happy than skinny and not have no joy or peace, hadn't you? But I thought this story was told true. She had something wrong. They called it some kind of a disease. And she wasn't fat to start with. Probably didn't weigh 120 pounds. And they called it something. Of course, they'll always call everything something. I'll tell you what I call it, demonic. I don't know what they called it, but they had a name for it. And this poor little old gal, beautiful young lady, the story said, and the devil kept telling her she's fat and she ain't going to be enticing. You know, back... Now, if Diana lived back in the Bible days, she'd have been really desired. The kings like plump women and plump ladies. They didn't like... And I'm getting to a point. Don't holler, oh, I'm getting to a point. Now, I'm living back in the Bible days. I desire... I think the plump ones. You look in the Bible times, it wasn't little old skinny olive oil women they painted pictures of. It was hefty women that could carry the water and do a work out in the field. And they was desirable. Now, I'm saying this for a reason. I'm not trying to be a Jesse Duplantis. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm telling you, this poor old lady, this young girl, was so messed up that the devil got in her mind. And the story goes on to say that she literally starved herself till she got so weak she went into a coma. And they put her on a feeding tube. Whatever this disease was, which I believe Satan was the author of it, the story goes on to say, they put a feeding tube in her. Her mind had told her body she has everything she needs, and she rejected every bit of the nourishment that was pumped into her. Put it into them all you want to. If their brain says there's no need for it, they don't need it, it rejects, and it goes right out. It's not beneficial. I'm saying that for this reason. You put every bit of this book in somebody you want to. If they're so full of the world and everything else, that mind. That religious spirit will declare to them, I don't need what you're giving me, preacher. I've got everything I need. It's just like the dead church of the Laodiceans, the lukewarm church, if you will. And the Bible says, because thou sayest I'm rich, other words, I've eat, I'm full, I need nothing. If thou sayest thou art rich and thou need of nothing, you know not that you're blind, poor, miserable, and naked. I counsel thee to buy me as gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and have your eyes anointed with eye salve, that you may see. What are you saying, preacher? And till you get Jesus in your life the way he wants you in there, you'll never see the need for more. Oh, I've got just all I want, preacher. And then guess what? That's all you'll get. If that's all you want, that's all you get. That's all you get. We've never had this problem in the Dye home. But I've seen a few kids. We've had a few years ago, some nieces, nephews. They'd come to the house occasionally. Seemed like Shannon may have been one of them. Arlo would say, that boy won't eat nothing that's cooked at the house. He's got to have sweets and microwavable and things. I said, leave him here for a while. And after about a week, I'll guarantee you he'll eat what's in the house. And we've never had that problem with it. I've never seen a Dye kid yet that will say, I don't like that. You put it on the table. Now, folks that don't believe in magic, come to the Dye home. And I can show you things that disappear every day rapidly. I mean real quick. Yesterday morning, Dying fixed chocolate gravy, biscuits, and eggs, scrambled eggs. Them old big old brown, I mean cooked with the top they put in the bottom of the oven and brown till they're just almost burnt. And a guy come, and here I done told him, he just got out of prison. He said, he'd call me and he said, I need help. He did. He needed help. I can tell you he did. And he needed help with a Nissan, but he needed help other areas too. And I'll just be straight with you. I don't have no money. Well, that don't matter. Ain't nobody else got any money either, don't reckon. And so I said, come on up here. And he drove up there. He said, I'll be there. I'm leaving my house at 7 o'clock at Marshall. I'll be there by 7:30. I told Diane, going to have breakfast done at 8:30. I said, he better get in gear. He ain't going to get no work done. Guess when he come? Right before breakfast. I'm out there working on his truck. Got his truck fixed. Diane, I said, I need a light. I can't see nothing. And so he brought me a light out of his car, and that's just where most of the church is today. Yeah, I got a light. And I shined it, and I said, son, I just barely see a little old spot in the end of that. I need a light. And that's where most of the church is. They think they're torching something, and you still can't see. And I said, Diane, bring me a light. We got a spotlight on the subject. One of them big bright lights. Shined it down there. Fixed his vehicle in a few minutes. I told Diane, I said, is breakfast? She said, I'm afraid it's already gone. I said, what? Well, she went in there and happened to rob me just a little bit before they got it all devoured. And I tell you, folks, if we'd be that way spiritually, where would the church be today? We don't want to leave anything, but we spiritually just pick here and pick there, and we'll get what we feel like is going to be good and appealing to us, and we'll leave everything else. But listen, folks, I believe today with all my heart, it's going to take somebody that'll be able to stand, that'll have a spiritual appetite. Whatever the Lord said, if it's reprove or rebuke, we better eat it. And thank God he loved us enough to fix what he had for us and send it our way. Because he said, none's not righteous, no, not one. Yes, he's talking to me. And if a preacher preaches hard enough to make me squirm, I better hug his neck. Brother Clendenin said one time, how long did he carry that $100? For years, wasn't it? 2 or 3, 4 years. I've heard him preach this and tell about it. He said he had a $100 bill he stuck in his pocket and carried for, I don't remember how long. It may have been 4 years, but it's a long time. And he said, I said, Lord, the first preacher that preaches me under conviction, I'm going to give him this $100. And he was in a service one night, and a man preached, And he preached so hard. And you talk about a hard preacher. Brother Clendenin was a hard preacher. And he didn't care who heard it. He wanted everybody to hear it. And he'd let the church know exactly where we were. You think everybody liked it? No, sir. But I can tell you, them that's in love with Jesus, Brother Smith, they'll hug that preacher's neck and say, "Thank God, you sent your word, you healed." The only healing we'll ever have, church. I'm not talking about something that'll just prolong, get us along. There's a lot of things. There's some feel-good pills out there. I'm telling you, this First Church of the Deadhead, this New Age movement, this charismatic move, if you will, they got some feel-good pills. They'll make you feel so good if you'll listen to it, and you'll take them gospel pills, or them religious pills, rather. They'll feel good, but they wear off, and they got a bad side effect every time. Every time they wear off. But what I'm trying to tell you about, it won't. It'll be good for everything that ails you. And when you get up in the morning, you'll not be saying, "Good Lord, it's morning." You'll be saying, "Good morning, Lord. Thank you, you made another day. Thank God there's somebody out there that'll still preach the word." I'm telling you, folks, we've got a hot victory over the spoiler. Woo! We got to have victory over the spoiler. I got some glasses I've been trying to wear for, this is the third day, I think. Oh, and they're tormenting me to death. And I said, even back there at the back, the glare from the back, I can't hardly see what folks look like. Sometimes that's a blessing. So I put these glasses on, and it's almost like you wake up in a scary world. Dear God, what's going on? The poor old man that was blind, and he was sent to the pool Siloam. He washed. He saw a man, or the one that the Lord spit in his eyes, wasn't it? That he saw a man as trees walking. He didn't see very clear. That's where most folks are stopping. Both things are so much better. Woo! Aren't you glad? We ain't trying to kill one another now. We've had some pretty bad words, and it's almost come down to physical, but ain't been no hair pulling, ain't been no kicking, biting, threatening. I don't want to see you dead. I don't, you know, it's getting better. They've had that first touch. And they need to say, "Lord, I need the perfect touch. I need the perfect touch." Because, folks, anything outside of that, we will not have the victory over the spoiler. And whether you agree or whether you don't, let me tell you something. The spoiler's going to come to your house. He may not have got there yet, but he's making his rounds, Brother Jim. He's went to many houses already more times than one. And guess what? He don't ever knock. He'll intrude. It seemed like he's got a key to everybody's door. You can lock the door and he'll come in as an intruder. And when he comes, he'll come to devour and to spoil what you have. We're in a battle. We're in war. And the only way, folks, we're in, if we don't have victory over the spoiler, let me tell you what else it means. The spoiler has victory over us. We read to you last week, and I'm coming to a close. How Jesus, and here's this religious group, they're accusing the Lord of casting out devils by princes of devils. And the Lord said, "Well, let me just ask you a question. How can a man enter into a strong man's house and spoil his house except he be stronger? Except he first bind that individual and then spoil his house?" What we're saying, if we say the devil has defeated us, we're saying he's stronger. He's bound us and he's spoiled us. We must have victory over the spoiler, or the spoiler will have victory over us. I've stated to you this morning, I haven't always had the victory over the spoiler. Sometimes we take matters into our own hands. And when we do, all we're doing is giving the enemy a tool to spoil our house. To spoil our house. We've had an altar service this morning. If you're here and you have a need for prayer, we don't want to miss you.